Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, dear saints of God. Good evening, and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. And do I have a broadcast in store for you? Before I get ahead of myself, let me just remind Jensen Franklin and Paula White Kane and Bradley Knight, Paula White's son and business manager and sidekick, that if they would like to call the show, the number here is area code 516-418-5978. Again, Mr. Bradley Knight, Paula White Kane, and Jensen Franklin, you have an open-ended invitation to call the broadcast at any time if you sea monkeys can grow a spine. That's right, sea monkeys, that's what they are. Paula White Kane was going against marine demons, the marine world, the marine creatures. She must be talking about sea monkeys. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are in for a treat tonight. As you know, this show revolves around this dumb and dumber duo. Have you ever seen the movie Dumb and Dumber 1, Dumb and Dumber 2? Well, in the spirit realm, because they always like to talk about the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, we have a dumb and dumber in the church, in the apostate church, to be more exact. And the dumber half of the dumb and dumber team is none other than Paula White Kane. Paula White Kane, think about that. Can you imagine a preacher? I mean, you have to be retarded as a preacher to take on the name of Cain. Who in the world, how stupid do you have to be to take on the, I mean, that's a dead giveaway. I mean, that's a dead giveaway. Just read the Epistle of Jude. There you have it. You know, Cain. Cain is right there as the first false teacher in world history. Cain. And she takes the last name Cain. I mean, is she dumb or what? Is she dumb? She just told us that she's a false teacher. I mean, false teachers know better than that. Than to take the last name Cain, or can you imagine Paula White, Balaam? Can you imagine going around calling yourself Paula White Balaam? Can you imagine if her current husband, Jonathan Cain, was called Jonathan Balaam? Would she take on the name Paula White Balaam, the brain donkey? I don't think so. I doubt it. I doubt it. Maybe she thinks the last name Cain is cool. It's not cool. The first apostate, the first heretic in the Bible, Mr. Cain. Yes, Mr. Cain. So we're talking about Paula White and how she is the dumber half of Trump's dumb and dumber prayer duo. Duo. She is the dumber half. Now, listen, Saints. This series is not about how dumb Paula White is because, again, or how stupid or how moronic or how idiotic or how imbecilic or how ignorant Paula White is. How many times have I proven that? Do I need to go back to that? That's old news. That's old news. We know that. We know that about Paula White. This series is not about how stupid she is, or how imbecilic she sounds, or how retarded she can be. No, it's not about that. It's about a deeper issue, a deeper issue. I want you to see by the end of this series, which is a short series, I don't need to take too long on this. I need you to see that Paula White is being manipulated. She talks about the spirit of manipulation. That's what that spirit of manipulation. Well, she's being manipulated and she doesn't know it. Manipulated. Has to do with the hand, manipulation, hand. She's being manipulated by the father of all lies, Satan himself. And I'm going to prove it. And we're going to take our time proving it, but I don't need to do 20 shows. Well, listen, Saints, I'll have a little clip here. This is Paula White praying at the White House. This was on the National Day of Prayer. And they left Paula White for last. Why did they leave Paula White for last? Because she's an embarrassment. That's why. And my opinion is they left her for last because they can't put her in the beginning because she's a disaster. They can't put her in the middle. She's a disaster. So they put her at the end. There she is with her pink dress standing in the Rose Garden. There's seven other people there who have already prayed. A rabbi's prayed. A Muslim woman has already prayed. A Catholic priest has already prayed. An evangelical has already prayed. So now what they need is a dimwit. What they're looking for is a dimwit. And even that's giving her too much credit because we have to go from dimwit to halfwit. She's really a halfwit. And she's the last person to pray, and she's standing maybe 3 feet away from the president. She's looking directly at the president when she stands behind the podium. And here she is, the last person to pray at the National Day of Prayer. And listen to this halfwit, how she prays. Now, there was, like I said before, there were seven other people who went before her. They all had their little cards. They all prayed. They all took their time, they, because when you're standing in front of hundreds of people at the Rose Garden, at the White House, you could be a little nervous. We get that. But here she is, Mrs. Super Spiritual, the apostle slash prophetess slash who knows what else she calls herself. And here she is. Here she is at the Rose Garden, and she's about to pray, and look how stupid she sounds.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to all grab one another's hand right now. The Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I know they're a little bit sweaty, but this is the last prayer, okay?
First of all, she just needs to calm down. She doesn't need to rush it. She's already stumbling over her words. There's no need for her to rush this. No need whatsoever. Just calm down. She gets up there and she grab your hands. And I know your hands can be sweaty. Relax. Take it easy. Take it easy. You're supposed to be, according to her bio, according to her biographical sketch, she's been in ministry 25 years and she's this elite public speaker. And she sounds like a babbling fool.
Thank you so much. So, Father, I am privileged to come to you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We lift your name up, and you said you would draw all men unto you. So right now, we thank you for this wonderful White House, our President, First Lady, First Family Administration. We declare it to be holy ground. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So as we thank you for the goodness.
Now, she sounds like a locomotive going down the track. Engine number 9 going down Chicago line. That's what she sounds like. She sounds like a locomotive racing down the tracks with no brakes on. No brakes. Why is she in a rush? They're not going anywhere. It's the last prayer. Take your time. But you know, Paula, you know how dim-witted this woman is. She doesn't recognize where she is. She doesn't recognize it. She doesn't know. She's at the White House. She's not at her church, New Destiny Christian Center. She's not at the City of Destiny, where they scream and shout at demons all day long. She's at the White House. Take your time. Take your time.
The Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I know they're a little bit sweaty, but this is the last prayer, okay? Thank you so much. So, Father, I am privileged to come to you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We lift your name up, and you said you would draw all men unto you. So right now, we thank you for this wonderful White House, our President, First Lady, First Family Administration. We declare it to be holy ground. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So as we thank you for the goodness, as we thank you for the prosperity of our nation, for your blessing, for your hand, now we lift up our President. You declared in Jeremiah chapter 1:5, that before he was ever formed in his mother's womb, that you had set him apart and you had ordained him. According to Psalm chapter 1, according to Psalm, you declared in 139 verse 16 that you ordained all of his days before one of them ever came into being. So not one day takes you by surprise. We thank you that you have already given him the victory through Christ Jesus. And we understand Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, wickedness, and darkness. So we declare every demonic network to be scattered right now. We declare right now that there is a hedge of protection over our President, First Lady, every assignment, the purpose they carry in the mantle. And like the Apostle said in Galatians, Apostle Paul said, I was set apart from my mother's womb and marked off by boundaries. For let him fulfill all the will of the Lord and do the assignment God has carried him to do for your great name, for your great nation, and for all your people in the world. I decree this and declare this in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. And according to Job 22:28, what I decree and declare is established. And everybody said, amen.
As you can see, nobody said amen. They were glad the train stopped. She was a speeding locomotive going down the tracks with no brakes, no brakes, and no brain. No brakes and no brain. Okay. Who does she remind me of? This is what she sounds like. This is what Paula White sounds like there at the White House. Now, you got to listen to the other seven people who prayed before her, and as you can see, they know what the moment is, where they're at, who they're before. They take their time. Impressive prayers. Okay. Not Paula. She has to bind demonic systems. You heard that. Didn't you just hear that? Can I play that for you again? Can I play that for you? Do you want to hear that again? And her dopey husband, Jonathan Dimwit Cain, has his hands up in the air while she's saying the dopey prayer. He's not at New Destiny Christian Center Church. He's not at that wackadoo church.
To come to you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We lift your name up, and you said you would draw all men unto you. So right now, we thank you for this wonderful White House, our President, First Lady, First Family Administration. We declare it to be holy ground. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So as we thank you for the goodness, as we thank you for the prosperity of our nation, for your blessing, for your hand, now we lift up our President. You declared in Jeremiah chapter 1:5 that before he was ever formed in his mother's womb, that you had set him apart and you had ordained him, according to Psalm chapter 1, chapter, according to Psalm.
Abadi. That's Paula White. According to Psalm, tongue-tied. Tongue-tied. I mean, you gotta feel sorry for this dimwit. You really do. She's making a donkey of herself. She's a brain donkey. A brain donkey on White House grounds.
Ask you to offer that one another's hand. Right now, the Bible says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together.
Okay, so everybody got on board. Put your seatbelts on. Put your seatbelts on. The train is about to leave the station, and here we go.
Unity. I know they're a little bit sweaty, but this is the last prayer, okay? Thank you so much. So, Father, I am privileged to come to you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We lift your name up, and you said you would draw all men unto you. So right now, we thank you for this wonderful White House, our President, First Lady, First Family Administration. We declare it to be holy ground. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So as we thank you for the goodness, as we thank you for the prosperity of our nation, for your blessing, for your hand, now we lift up our President. You declared in Jeremiah chapter 1:5, that before he was ever formed in his mother's womb, that you had set him apart and you had ordained him according.
No, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what that specific verse is in reference to somebody else. Not in reference to Donald Trump. There you go. A dimwit. And the rabbis, they're looking at her and saying, this lady's stupid. That has nothing to do with Donald Trump. But here she goes.
According to Psalm, chapter 1, chapter, according to Psalm, you declared in 139, verse 16, that you ordained all of his days before one of them ever came into being. So not one day takes you by surprise. We thank you that you have already given him the victory through Christ Jesus. And we understand Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, wickedness, and darkness. So we declare every demonic network to be scattered right now.
We declare for every demonic network to be scattered right now. Is that a prayer? Is that something to pray for? That makes absolutely no sense. Show me a demonic network. Show me a satanic. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible. John says, the Apostle John says, that this whole world, the whole planet, lies under the control of the wicked one. The world lieth. Paul says that he is the God, lowercase g, he is the God of this world. He controls the planet under the sovereignty of God. But Satan is running things on planet Earth under the sovereignty of God, under what God allows him to do so that prophecy can be fulfilled. You can't dismantle, you can't come against demonic networks. No, that's Jesus' job. That's what he's going to do when he shows up in his second coming. He will destroy all demonic networks, but that won't happen until he arrives. But here she is again. Here she is. Stumbling.
But, sweetie, but this is the last prayer, okay? Thank you so much. So, Father, I am privileged to come to you in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. We lift your name up, and you said you would draw all men unto you. So right now, we thank you for this wonderful White House, our President, First Lady, First Family Administration. We declare it to be holy ground. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So as we thank you for the goodness, as we thank you for the prosperity of our nation, for your blessing, for your hand, now we lift up our President. You declared in Jeremiah chapter 1:5, that before he was ever formed in his mother's womb, that you had set him apart and you had ordained him. According to Psalm chapter 1, you declared in 139 verse 16 that you ordained all of his days before one of.
Now, President Trump, who likes classy things, the man doesn't like idiocy like this. He really likes things to be done well. He's listening to this bumbling fool who goes around town and on Fox News Network telling everybody she's his spiritual advisor. Porky Pig is his spiritual advisor. That's his spiritual advisor.
Them ever came into being. So not one day takes you by surprise. We thank you that you have already given him the victory through Christ Jesus. And we understand Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, wickedness, and darkness. So we declare every demonic network to be scattered right now. We declare right now that there is a hedge of protection over our president, first lady, every assignment, the purpose they carry in the mantle, and like the apostle said in Galatians, Apostle Paul said, I was set apart from my mother's womb and marked off by boundaries, for let him fulfill all the will of the Lord and do the assignment God has carried him to do for your great name, for your great nation, and for all your people in the world. I decree this and declare this in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. And according to Job 22:28, what I decree and declare is established. And everybody said, amen.
They're laughing at her like she's a fool. Because that's what she is. No, you can't decree and declare anything. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. You can read that text all you want. That's not what it says. But this is Paula White. This is what she sounds like. This is what she sounded like to everybody that was listening to that prayer. Now, we can understand why Porky Pig is stuttering. That is the first time, in fact, that cartoon is Porky Pig's debut. That's Porky Pig. That's the first time Porky Pig ever stood in front of an audience. So we can understand why he's a little nervous and why he's stuttering. But Paula White, the so-called expert, the spiritual advisor, the apostle to the politicians, she's stuttering? No. Porky Pig, yes. He's riding a donkey.
On the 18th of April in 1775.
And since he's at the Rose Garden, he pulled out the flag and he's marching.
Harley, a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year. Half a leg onward. Though the four hundred. Forward. The light brigade charge it to me, he said. Cannon to the right of them.
Porky Pig Paula. Porky Pig Paula. So enough making fun of Paula. And of course she's in the news because of that stupid prayer that she put on YouTube. And so we're going to continue with our series on the dumber half of Trump's Dumb and Dumber duel. There are two members to this Dumb and Dumber duel. Jensen Franklin is the first member. He's Mr. Dumb. And Paula White is the second member. She's Miss Dumber. The Dumb and Dumber duel. Now, let me remind you, dear saints, that we talked about two kinds of demonic dumb. Two kinds of demonic dumb. By way of a summary or by way of refreshing your mind, let me share with you that in our previous broadcast, we talked about how there are demons which possess people. And we read this in the gospel verses that we looked at in our last broadcast. There were demons that possessed people and made the people dumb. Remember, we saw that in Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 to 33, Matthew 12, 22, Matthew 15, 30 through 31. The Bible says that these people had a dumb spirit, and that this dumb spirit, the demon is called the dumb spirit. Why? Because it made the person dumb. Those who came to Jesus and said, "Can you please help me? My son, my daughter, whoever has a dumb spirit." And did it make them stupid like Paula? No, that's not what the phrase dumb spirit means. When a demon is classified as a dumb spirit, that's not what it's detailing. That's not what it's expressing, that the demon makes one stupid, or the demon makes one dumb, or the spirit makes one retarded or imbecilic or moronic. No. The word for dumb here in the verses that I read to you in the Matthew 9 verse and the Matthew 12 and the Matthew 15 is the Greek word kophos. And that word kophos simply means to make one speechless. To make one speechless. We're doing this by way of review. By way of review, we're going over this Greek word, and it means to make one speechless. One is unable to talk when one has a dumb spirit residing inside you. You can't talk. The demon will arrest your tongue. The demon will not allow your tongue to express itself. All right. So that's, again, we looked at those scriptures, and obviously, when we talk about or we refer to Paula White as being dumb, obviously it's not that kind of dumb, because Paula White does what? She does a lot of talking. Paula White does a lot of talking. So if I was to say to you, Paula White has a dumb spirit, what do you mean, brother? Does that mean that that spirit makes her stupid? No. Does it mean that the spirit makes her retarded? No. No, no. Does it mean that she has a learning disability? No, 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 no. If Paula White had a dumb spirit, according to Matthew 9, 12, and 15, and of course, there's other passages like Luke 11, There are many other passages. We just looked at a few in Matthew. But if Paula White had the dumb spirit, the Kophos spirit, the Kophos pneuma, the Kophos spirit, she would not be able to speak. And obviously, here's Paula White speaking.
According to Psalm, you declared in 139, verse 16, that you ordained all of his days before one of them ever came.
So that's proof and evidence that Paula White does not have that dumb spirit, that particular dumb spirit. And like I said, there's two kinds of demonic dumb, two kinds. So we have to rule out, biblically speaking, we have to rule out the first kind, because obviously Paula White is a chatterbox. Obviously, Paula White's tongue is out of control. Paula White is just spouting out words like a faucet that's just completely opened, and the water is just running unhindered. Paula White speaks very, she has no problem uttering words. Therefore, she cannot have the dumb spirit referred to, mentioned in Matthew 9, 32-33, Matthew 12, 22, and Matthew 15, 29-31, because she is talking and we can hear her words, we can hear her sentences, we can hear her paragraphs. No matter how hurtful those words and sentences and paragraphs may be to our ears, we can hear her. And she is uttering words. Has she had a dumb spirit according to the text we mentioned, she would be mute. She would not be able to speak. Her tongue would be tied. She'd have a hard problem. She would not be able to express herself. And expressing herself is not Paula White's problem. So now there's a different kind of demonic dumb, a second kind. And let me submit to you that second kind has to do with demonic or satanic ventriloquism. Satanic or demonic ventriloquism. You know, like a ventriloquist, a guy who sits a dummy on his lap, and he puts his hand through the dummy's backside, and so he can grab a hold of his mouth, and with his hands, he's able to manipulate the dummy's mouth and cause the dummy to speak. A ventriloquist with a dummy. Okay. So the second kind of dumb is demonic ventriloquism. Now, you can go to any shop. You can go to any store. You can go anywhere you want to where they sell puppets or where they sell dummies. And when you're looking at the puppets, when you're figuring out which one you want to buy, those puppets don't talk. They don't talk. They don't say a word. They're dummies. Notice. Like the first kind of demonic dumbness, the dummies hanging up on the wall, the dummies that the salesman is showing you that are for sale, those dummies don't utter words. They don't. You buy it. You go home. You stick your arm through its backside. You start to move his mouth. And you start to give the dummy words. That's the second kind of demonic dumb. The second kind. So in other words, it can go two ways. You can either, the demon can possess the entity, can possess the creature, can possess the beast, can possess whatever, and speak through it. That's what the demons could do. The demons could actually speak through an animal or speak through a person, and that would be demonic ventriloquism. Now, this kind of demonic dumb, the second kind of demonic dumb, and I'm just trying to give you time to write things down. The second kind of demonic dumb is as old as the Garden of Eden. Is as old as what? The Garden of Eden. Let me explain. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, my brothers and sisters, it says here in Genesis chapter 3, now the serpent was the most crafty of any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had what? Made. The serpent was the most what? Subtle or crafty of all the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said unto the woman, notice, the serpent said. Now, my brothers and sisters, have you ever gone to any zoo that had a talking serpent? Have you ever gone to any pet shop and looked at the snakes in the fish tank? Or have you ever gone to someone's home and they keep snakes? Has the snake in that person's home ever spoken to you? Have you ever come across a snake in the forest like I have? Have you ever come across a snake in any kind of environment and that snake turned to you and spoken? Never. Why? Because animals don't speak. They don't speak. They make sounds. Making sounds is not speaking, or at least not speaking in a human language. Animals don't speak in human language. They don't communicate with human language. However, out of all the animals in the garden, Eve bumps into a talking serpent. What does she bump into? A talking serpent. I'm pretty sure that Eve bumped into serpents after that, but none ever spoke. Have you ever bumped into a talking serpent? No. Did Noah, who put all kinds of serpents two by two in the ark, did he ever bump into talking serpents? No. You've never bumped into a talking jackass. You've never bumped into a talking llama. You have never bumped into a talking giraffe or a talking elephant. I'm sorry, there's no way that you ever bumped into an animal who has communicated with you in human language. Never. It's never happened. However, here you have this serpent, and he is talking in a language that Eve understands. And what language is that? The human language. So now that is an indication. It is an indication that the serpent, the natural serpent, is being used as a puppet for some other entity. Because notice, my brothers and sisters, no animal speaks. No animal. Remember in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, we looked at that verse in the previous broadcast, and the Bible says that Balaam had a dumb ass, an aphonos ass. Aphonos means a donkey that can't make human sounds, a donkey that cannot produce human speech. However, that dumb ass, because all animals are dumb, when it comes to what? Human language. Again, find me a dolphin that you can communicate with in English. Find me a kangaroo that you can talk to in English. Find me a koala bear that you can speak to in any human language, for that matter. You can't find any. Why? Because animals do not talk in human language. But here in the third chapter of Genesis, we find the serpent who is talking with Eve. Talking. Humanly communicating. Okay. Remember, we only, according to Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13:1, you have the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. Angels speak, men speak, but not animals. Only men and angels speak, not animals. Okay? Please bear that in mind. So here we have a creature who is not supposed to be speaking, but is speaking and is having a conversation with whom? With Eve. With Eve. Okay, so it goes on to say, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, he being the serpent, he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, see, they're having a communication. We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, God has communicated, God has revealed, God has spoken, God has commanded, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you see, they're having a running conversation, the same way she would have a running conversation with God. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, my brothers and sisters, you see, serpents don't talk, but this serpent is talking. It's called demonic or satanic ventriloquism. Okay? Now, who is the old serpent according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9? Who is that old serpent? Satan. Satan was using this serpent as a disguise to talk to Eve to get her to disobey God. Okay? So the serpent became the dummy. The serpent became the puppet. Got it? Okay. All right. Okay. Now, let's go to chapter 3, Genesis 3, look, and let's start at verse 8. And they heard, and they, being Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called out unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? See, God, and God, and who? And Adam are having a conversation. And God said unto Adam, called out to Adam, Adam, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you you were naked? And have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that you should not eat of? And the man said, he's having a running conversation with God the same way Eve was having a running conversation with the serpent. And the man said, the woman which you gave me, she gave me to eat of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this thing that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent, through language, through communication, tricked me. Okay? All right, saints. Okay. So now we have to conclude, based on other passages in the Bible, that the serpent was possessed by Satan. Satan used, the serpent had no voice. Look, when you buy a dummy, when you buy a puppet, when you go get yourself one of those puppets and you sit it on your lap, that puppet has no words. You give it its voice. You give it its personality. You put that puppet back in the box, and you will not hear a peep out of that puppet until you begin to act like a ventriloquist. Then that puppet will speak. As long as that listen, that puppet is that's why they call them dummies, because puppets don't speak. They're blockheads. They're blockheads. They don't speak. They don't. It's just like a marionette. A marionette doesn't move until you, the puppeteer, you start pulling the strings. It's the same thing. So the marionette comes to life as the puppeteer starts pulling on the different strings and to make the puppet dance. It's the same thing with the dummy. It's the same thing with the dum-dum. It's the same thing with the wooden head or the blockhead. You sit it on your lap, You put your hands in the back of its head. Its head is hollow. There's nothing there. There's no vocal cords. There's no intestines in the dummy. The dummy has no organs. The dummy is lifeless. The dummy is dumb. That's the biblical definition of something that's dumb. It can't speak. Okay, so now, as I said, demonic ventriloquism is as old as the Garden of Eden. But do you know that satanic ventriloquism will become in style again during the time of the Antichrist? Okay, go with me to Revelation chapter 13. It's a tool. This satanic or demonic ventriloquism, depending upon who is doing playing the role of ventriloquist, sometimes it's a demon that plays the role of a ventriloquist. If it's a demon, it's demonic ventriloquism. If it's Satan, then it's satanic ventriloquism. So depending upon who is playing the role of puppet master, that's where you can define what kind of ventriloquism it is. All right, so now let's go to Revelation 13, and this has to do with the false prophet. The false prophet. Okay, the first beast, as you know, is the Antichrist. The first beast is whom? The Antichrist. The second beast now, chapter 13, verse 11, is the false prophet. Now, the Antichrist, in chapter 13, verse 1 and following, is the ultimate Antichrist, because we've had many Antichrists. We've had many, 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 many Antichrists. And this false prophet here in Revelation 13, starting at verse 11, will be the ultimate false prophet. We've had many false prophets, but this one is the lead false prophet of all times. Okay, now, focus on verse 11. And behold, another beast came up out of the earth. This beast had two horns like a lamb. So the outward appearance of the creature is, it's a lamb creature. It's a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. It's a little innocent lamb. No. Look, it looks like a lamb. But on the inside, there's something sinister on the inside, because when he speaks, it's the voice of the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. Satan is the dragon. So here you have again, according to Revelation 12:9, you have satanic ventriloquism. Again, my brothers and sisters. Notice, on the outside, it looks like a puppet. On the inside, Satan is doing the talking. Satan is doing the talking. Okay, so now, it goes on to say, and this false prophet, he exercised all the power of the first beast who came before him, and he caused it all the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And this false prophet, he does great wonders, and he maketh fire to come down from heaven and in the sight of all men, and he deceived them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that which had been healed from that deadly wound and is now alive. Now, look at verse 15. And to the false prophet was given power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Notice. What does the idol do? This is a huge idol. This is an image. This is a giant idol, like the same one that Nebuchadnezzar had. The difference between this image or this idol and the idol which was in Nebuchadnezzar's day is that Satan has lent his powers to this false prophet so that he can cause this image to speak. Ventriloquism. Got it? And that's what blows people's minds. Why? Because when you, listen, when you go to the Roman Catholic Church and you see all those idols that they have there, those idols have eyes but can't see, those idols have ears but can't hear, those idols have mouths but they can't speak. Have you ever seen a Roman Catholic idol speak? No. Isaiah says that idols do not speak. They don't speak. What blows people's mind is that this idol is alive. Like, you know, the dummy, you know, when the dummy's sitting in the box, the dummy's just there. Now, you take that dummy, put it on your lap. Here you are in a nightclub. Here you are at some venue. And here you are with the puppet on your lap. And now you are giving this puppet life, and people are buying into the act. They're laughing when the puppet says jokes. They're laughing when the puppet interacts with the ventriloquist. I mean, they just believe, and at the end of the show, they're clapping. Oh, they're enthusiastically clapping. Why? Because to them, it was not one person on stage, it was two. Because the ventriloquist gives life unto the puppet. Well, this second beast, who has two horns like the lamb, he's ministry-like on the outside, but on the inside he's full of the devil. He is given power to cause the image to speak. He speaks like the dragon. He speaks like Satan. And since he speaks like the dragon, and we know the difference between the serpent and the serpent deceives, but the dragon sheds blood. So notice, continuing this theme that he speaks like the dragon, look at verse 15 of Revelation 13. He had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. Notice, my brothers and sisters, anytime you see dragon, in Revelation chapter 12 and 13, the dragon is out to spill blood. Whenever you see Satan in serpent mode, he's out to deceive. When Satan is in dragon mode, he's out to kill. This false prophet who speaks like the dragon causes his image to execute people. You notice the connection? Notice those that don't worship shall be what? Killed. Killed, not made to laugh, not made to get up on their feet and clap. No, this is satanic ventriloquism. This is evil. Oh, my brother, but that doesn't make sense. Well, let me take you to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:2. You know, writing to the Corinthians, you know that you are what? Gentiles. And as Gentiles, you were carried away unto these dumb idols. In other words, what Paul is saying, listen, you guys worship idols who couldn't hear, who couldn't see, and who couldn't talk. They're dumb. They are lifeless. They are speechless. They're aphonos. The same way the dumbass, remember we talked about Balaam's dumbass? Balaam's dumbass never spoke. Idols never speak. And Paul, look what Paul says. He says, listen, you know that you worshiped at the feet, you bowed down to these dumb, speechless idols. But the idol in Revelation, that's going to be a different idol, because that one is empowered by the satanic ventriloquist himself, Satan. That idol, see, what makes the idols in 1 Corinthians 12 different from the idols in Revelation 13 is that Satan lends his power to make that idol speak. Like he lent his power to make the serpent speak. From Genesis to Revelation, you have this satanic ventriloquism, demonic ventriloquism. But in order to do this, you need a dumb idol. Like it says here, you know that you Gentiles were carried away by dumb idols or a dumb puppet. Puppets don't speak. They don't. The ventriloquist is the one that gives that thing life. He's the one who animates it. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 10, he says this, verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered to in sacrifice to the idol is anything? He says no. He says, listen, the idol is meaningless. The thing that people bow to, that's made out of wood or metal or stone, that's nothing. Listen, don't get caught up by that. Because he says in verse number 20, but I say unto you that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Demons. There's a demon behind the idol. There's a demon behind every idol. See, it's not the puppet. It's the demon that manipulates the puppet. It's not the idol that's attracting you to come to it. It's the demon that is getting people to come to the idol and bow before it. This is demonic ventriloquism. Now, of course, these idols here in 1 Corinthians 10 and in 1 Corinthians 12, they don't speak. They don't speak. But there will come an idol. There's an idol. Nebuchadnezzar's grand image didn't speak. For all the astrologers and the magicians and the wizards that Nebuchadnezzar had, what was missing was Satan did not lend his power to make that image speak. In the first century, in the Greco-Roman world, my brothers and sisters, there were images set up by kings. There were idols set up by kings, and those idols moved because there was you can look this up in history. There were people on the inside moving the arms of the idols, moving the heads of the idols, in order to give the idol life. See, it was a sham show. Those who had constructed those big images, those big gods, the king or the priest would put other people inside. Okay, you move the arms, I'll move his head. And people were astonished to see these idols move. But one thing those idols never did was speak. So as you can see, what Satan needs. See, there's two kinds of demonic dumb. There's two kinds. Satan can possess you and you never speak as long as he or a demon resides in you, or he can possess you and you're going to do a lot of talking because you got a lot of deceiving to do. There's two kinds of demonic dumb. Two kinds. One that never talks and one that talks excessively. Now, I have a little homework assignment for you before we get together for our next lesson, because this lesson is almost up. I want everyone who has listened to this broadcast to watch an episode of The Twilight Zone called Caesar and Me. It's got to be the show Caesar and Me. Twilight Zone episode, Rod Sterling, Caesar and Me. If you want to see what demonic ventriloquism is, watch Caesar and Me. That's a homework assignment, and I'm going to be back with you come this Monday. I am going to be back with you to do our third installment in this series. And as you can see, my brothers and sisters, this is not just regurgitating what we said before. We know Paula White is super stupid. We know she's super retarded. We know that this is an imbecilic woman who has no business being at that White House, much less in any pulpit, much less. But this series is not about how stupid she is. It's about how she's being demonically / satanically manipulated, may I add. That's what this is really all about. Well, Saints, love you much. See you on Monday. Listen, do me a favor. Tell someone else about this series. Tell someone else. You got to know at least 10, 15 people who should really be hearing this series. You got to admit, my brothers and sisters, this is an eye-opening series. Tell someone. Also tell them about the series I just finished doing with the Outlines, the Jensen Franklin series, the Jezebel Children series. Tell the Saints. I love you much in Jesus. I'll catch up with you on Monday. Enjoy your Lord's Day tomorrow. God bless you.